Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's not exactly been a fun couple of weeks for motorists on some of Britain's busiest roads.
Just after 8 a.m, a small group of protesters run onto a slip road onto the M25, obstructing traffic.
They've based themselves on the Eastern Docks roundabout. It blocks access to the port of Dover.
A group of 18 climate change protesters glued themselves to the slip road here.
Climate change protesters shut down roads and even the port of Dover. It is a radical tactic, but the demands seem, well, really rather moderate in the grand scheme of things. They want the government to insulate our homes.
Insulating the homes of Britain is the easiest and most cost-effective way of reducing carbon emissions.
But why block roads?
Because it's the only thing that we can do that gets the publicity.
Insulate Britain protesters are willing to forego liberty for their cause, possibly even idealising the idea of getting locked up. So who are they, and will they succeed?
The theory behind Insulate Britain is the idea that having dozens of protesters going to prison will force legislative change.
You're listening to Stories of Our Times, from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Callum MacDonald from Times Radio, sitting in for Manveen Rana. Today, motorway mayhem. The climate change radicals who want to insulate Britain.
It was late on the Tuesday night. I got a text message from someone that I didn't know, telling me to meet them at a National Trust car park between Junction 8 and Junction 9 on the M25. And so I got in the car the next morning at about 6 o'clock and drove down.
It may sound like he's been invited to a picnic, or indeed something slightly more salacious, but Times reporter Tom Ball was actually being invited to an Insulate Britain protest. The group is an offshoot of Extinction Rebellion, XR. Now, you may remember XR from the summer of 2019, when they blockaded large parts of some of the UK's biggest cities, including London, for almost a fortnight.
A few minutes past eight, breaking news this morning, fights between commuters in London and Extinction Rebellion activists.
Day three is dawning for the Extinction Rebellion protesters who are camped out in central London today.
Nearly 550 people have been arrested over the last 2 days already.
They wanted the government to declare a climate emergency and reduce carbon emissions. More than 1,000 people were arrested. Tom knows XR's actions inside and out. He reported on the disruption they caused and the demands they made, and got to know some of those involved. Fast forward from then to September 2021, and Tom secured an invitation to Insulate Britain's second invasion of the M25, and caught up with some familiar faces.
On that morning, it was just my car, and a few minutes later, a van turns up and out steps Insulate Britain, or at least a squadron of about 15 of them. I told them who I was, and I was from The Times, and that they'd invited me along. And some were a little bit cagey, but others were perfectly nice. One woman offered me some tea. They are majoritively middle-class, middle-aged people, the sorts who could plausibly be National Trust members themselves, and they said that they were there because more needed to be done. The government wasn't listening. They impressed upon me the fact that this was the last thing they wanted to be spending their Wednesday mornings doing.
In terms of that first impression as these people unload out of the van, is there somebody who you were kind of drawn to as standing out?
There's a guy there called Mark Coleman, who is the former Dean of Rochdale. He was there in his dog collar, and there was also another vicar called Sue Parfitt, and she's in her late 70s. She had with her a sort of portable chair, and when we were in the car park, one of the other protesters went with Sue to the flyover and made sure she could clamber down this pretty steep verge, which no mean feat for someone my age, let alone someone in their late 70s. And then we all put on orange high-vis jackets, walked off to the motorway. And then they all made their way down, shimmying down this pretty steep verge. I went down with them, at which point you're slightly nervous given that there are cars whizzing past at 70 miles an hour. We stood there on the hard shoulder. One of the protesters phoned the police and said to them that there are people on the motorway, it's a danger to life, to which the police were then required to put out messages on the gantry saying slow down pedestrians on the roads and send out one of their officers to then bring the traffic to a halt, which then meant that the road was relatively clear to let the protesters get on it. They knew what they were doing. They had spent the summer scouting out locations on the M25 where they knew that they'd be able to access the road. And then once we were actually down on the motorway itself, Sue Parfitt in her late 70s sat behind the cordon of protesters in the middle of the carriageway in her portable chair.
There's extreme action this morning sitting on the motorway because I know absolutely that we're in a climate emergency and that the best way to tackle this for the government at the moment is to insulate all the social housing in Britain.
That is determination if ever I've heard it. Was there a kind of explanation given? What is the motivation there?
A lot of people, particularly of that age, say that it's their grandkids that they're doing it for, fully aware of the fact that what they do is pretty extreme.
The people I love the best call me Nana, and I'm here for all the children that live in fuel poverty.
I've never been arrested before this week. I really feel the government isn't doing anything. All these empty targets don't mean anything.
I'm Anthony. I'm 71 years old last week, and from Dewsbury, and I'm here because I absolutely have to push the government in the direction of insulating our housing stock.
We need some action now, and a simple step would be just to insulate homes. It would benefit poor people, benefit families.
By and large, a lot of these people aren't actually as radical as you would have thought them to be. They don't sort of come across as being massively hardcore ideologues. And I think for particularly the older people who are in their 60s, 70s and even 80s and 90s, they are people who can afford to get arrested and even imprisoned because they don't have mortgages, they don't have jobs.
I'm Anne, I'm 72. I'm here for my children and my grandchildren.
They want to do something, A, for their grandchildren, but also they want to do something that they think will make a difference.
It's the government that's breaking the law. It's not us. We're upholding the law. And we have to do it. It's just so important.
I mean, as for me, I shimmied down with them onto the hard shoulder and then suddenly thought, what am I doing here? I could A, get sideswiped, but also arrested. So a photographer and I then went back up onto the flyover and watched from a safe distance.
I suppose we should determine what their purpose is. Insulate Britain are relatively new. They have got a lot of coverage. We are giving them some now, in fact. But are we clear on what their purpose is? Just define that for us and our listeners.
The central demand is that the government funds home insulation, which I think to a lot of people seems fairly arcane and specific and not the sort of hill that you'd thought a lot of people would want to die on. But they are, all of them, committed climate change activists, and this is part of the tactic. The theory behind Insulate Britain is the idea that having dozens of protesters going to prison will force legislative change, because the government will be seen to be criminalising and taking away the liberties of a group of middle class people for what they believe in to gain a legislative victory. So one of the criticisms of Extinction Rebellion is that they haven't really gained much from their years of protests. So the idea now is that if you can have a tangible and achievable goal, such as home insulation, which they say is a sort of a no-brainer, which the government is sort of on its way to doing anyway, then that A, gives the movement credibility, but B, also creates momentum for them to go on and then force more legislative changes, such as banning the funding of fossil fuels, and will eventually snowball to them achieving their ultimate aim.
Is there a feeling that this is the right tangible thing for them to really be focusing on, and indeed causing this amount of disruption for?
One of the other reasons that home insulation is something that they are campaigning for is the fact that they feel that it's also an issue that will get working class voters and indeed red wall voters on side. They're not stupid, they are politically and legally savvy, and the theory behind home insulation as a demand is that it will be appealing to the red wall and ultimately it will pressurise the government where it hurts.
So that's the people, that's the movement. You've ended up on the hard shoulder of the M25 alongside them. You know, Britain's busiest motorway with cars hurtling past you. What was the mood like at that point?
I think there was certainly a bit of disquiet. They are willing to risk their lives even and their liberties in order to affect the change they want to see. There's obviously also the danger of irate motorists. They've several times had drivers getting out their cars and trying to drag them off the road and had a lot of abuse hurled at them. The most dangerous part of when I was down with them was with people going in the other direction who were trying to swerve over to the central reservation so that they could hurl abuse at them. At one point, someone very nearly swerved into the back of another car doing that. It's not a safe day out.
No, not at all. And just on that note then, so there's irate commuters or travellers, at least, who are trying to get from A to B. But also there's reports, for example, of one lady being paralysed by a stroke because she couldn't get to hospital on time through the disruption on the motorway.
I was there in my car with my mother for 6 hours, watching her slip away, and I could do nothing. The doctors have said that if we were to have got to them within 90 minutes, her recovery would have been minimal. Because she'd been left to endure a full-on stroke for 6 hours, she's got complete paralysis now down her left side. She can't speak.
There are suggestions of other injuries, other incidents that have really been caused by the fact that people are quite literally sitting on lanes of the motorway. Does that resonate with this group of protesters? Does that affect them and what they're doing?
They have put out lots of statements saying they are very sorry to be doing this, they don't want to be doing this.
We're really sorry to cause any disruption. I wish I didn't have to sit here on a road with my hand glued to the tarmac. But the fact is that I've written, lectured, I've done every single thing I can think of, and nothing is being done. So
they would argue the climate crisis is an existential one, and I don't really think they're out there to win any friends. They have compared themselves to the suffragettes, for example, and said that suffragettes weren't at all popular during their campaigns, and yet they were eventually proved to be on the right side of history. So I think they view themselves in this mould.
It might cause them, though, quite a dramatic PR problem, actually. People not being able to get to work.
I'm going to work, I'm running late already, this is terrible. Absolutely terrible.
2 hours. 2 hours late for work now.
You're causing more pollution by all of these cars just sitting here doing...
They can't deliver things. It's damaging their livelihoods. That is the sort of thing that will not go down well with the aforementioned Red Wall and Red Wall voters.
Yeah, it's entirely right. Probably one of the biggest debates within the movement is how much can you alienate people? Unlike XR, which was more concerned about the PR war, they took more care to be liked. I think Insulate Britain aren't particularly worried about what people think about them.
Coming up, how Insulate Britain is causing a headache for the police.
I'm Anthony Lloyd, war correspondent for The Times. It's you who enables me to report from some of the most volatile environments in the world. Get to the heart of the stories that matter every day with The Times and Sunday Times. Subscribe today and enjoy 1 month free. Visit thetimes.co.uk/storiesofourtimes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Looking for inspiring stories? Listen to the EY Leading Into Tomorrow podcast. It features compelling stories from leaders across government and the public sector who've transformed their organizations and services. From the impact of grants to how digital innovation is reshaping affordable childcare, you'll get actionable insights and ideas that can be used around the world. Download Leading Into Tomorrow by EY wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you join us just as police are dealing with an extraordinary situation here on the slip road at South Mimms Services on the northern section of the M25. They're just about to make the final arrest here. A group of 18 climate change protesters from a group calling themselves Insulate Britain glued themselves to the slip road here.
You said that one of the protesters actually called the police to kind of report on themselves. That's part of their strategy, isn't it, for getting traffic to slow down?
The police say that they weren't aware that the people phoning them were protesters. They thought they were members of the public. And now, obviously, we're aware of the fact that they're using this as a tactic. So police have been going along the hard shoulder themselves and trying to arrest the protesters before they're able to get onto the roads. They have been arresting people who have gone into custody for 24 hours. And as soon as they've left custody, have told the police that they'll be straight out again. And because of the fact that obstructing a highway is not deemed a particularly severe crime, they are not able to hold them on remand.
Interesting to consider, Tom, that the police's ability to police the protesters has been adapted in the last few days. Just, I suppose, the quick response that there's been from the Home Secretary, from the courts indeed, to sort of adapt the ability of the police to deal with this, I suppose, relatively new form of protest.
As much as it's been a headache for the police, it's been a headache for the Home Office as well.
The climate change protesters, who have been causing disruption to major roads and motorways around the capital over the last 2 weeks, could now be jailed if they carry on. The government has won a High Court injunction against them.
The problem that police had previously been having of arresting protesters who only then a day later will be free again to head straight back onto the road can now be placed on remand, which means that they'll be in custody for a much longer period. But we'll find ourselves in a circle of cat and mouse. The injunction can only cover the M25. Insulate Britain insiders have been saying to me today that they are considering the option of going to other motorways.
The injunction changes nothing. I've been very clear this is more important than my life. My children's future is more important than a bit of paper.
That was an Insulate Britain protester talking outside the Home Office on the same day that the government won the M25 injunction. Since then, another injunction has been put in place at the port of Dover after it was targeted as well. This probably isn't quite the run-up to COP26 that the government would have wanted, When world leaders arrive in Glasgow for the UN Climate Change Conference, could Boris Johnson face the embarrassment of UK jails being packed with people who've been protesting about this very thing?
Insulate Britain certainly hopes so, and I think it's certainly a possibility. The idea behind it was actually based on the civil rights movement in the States in the early 1960s. Insulate Britain looked at that and they saw that there were civil rights protesters being banged up in the Deep South at the same time as John F. Kennedy was trying to portray himself on the world stage as a Cold War leader who could stand up to the Soviet Union. And they see an analogue in the current situation where we have our Prime Minister standing on a world stage trying to model himself as the crusader against climate change.
And when Kermit the Frog sang, "It's not easy being green." You remember that one? I want you to know that he was wrong. He was wrong. It is easy. It's not only easy, it's lucrative, and it's right to be green. But he was also unnecessarily rude to Miss Piggy, I thought, Kermit the Frog. But it is easy.
Let's find out specifically about some of Insulate Britain then, and these characters who are drawing comparisons to civil rights movements, to the suffragettes, for example. They don't object to the idea of going to jail. Tell us about Roger Hallam, who is the leader of the gang, as it were.
The project is to make a demand in a run-up towards COP to insulate all the social housing in Britain. It's a Gandhi-esque operation in the sense that it's an ultimatum. If the government doesn't substantially respond by the middle of September, then civil disobedience will begin.
What do we know about him?
Roger Hallam was an organic farmer in Wales. He cut his teeth on the protest movement by organising rent strikes in London. He and two other people founded Extinction Rebellion. He studied civil disobedience at King's College London. He's very well versed in the climate science. But then in around 2019, 2020, he started to fall out with others within Extinction Rebellion who felt sometimes that he could be too radical.
It depends on you. Some of you is going to be fine, right? Some of you are going to have to talk to your partners. Some of you might have to risk your jobs.
He also gave an interview to a German newspaper in which he made comments which seemed to downplay the significance of the Holocaust.
Extinction Rebellion founder Roger Hallam creates fury in Germany and elsewhere by appearing to downplay the Holocaust. He said this: "The fact of the matter is millions of people have been killed in vicious circumstances on a regular basis throughout history. To be honest, you could say this is an almost normal event. The Holocaust is just another bleep in human history."
Which went down very badly, of course.
Okay, so I'm just going to, like, you know, deal with the main thing first, which is about the Holocaust comments. I feel enormously apologetic about the upset that's been caused by the publication of those comments. Just for the record, I think that the Holocaust was an absolutely horrendous and obscene event in history.
And so that there was a quite a public and acrimonious falling out between Hallam and certain factions within Extinction Rebellion. And then around the start of this year, he started to give talks and meetings where he mooted the possibility of only a handful of protesters who would aim specifically to have their members going to prison.
Some of you might even lose your home. But this is how we're going to save this country and our children. There's no other option.
And then ultimately that group became Insulate Britain.
Another senior figure in Insulate Britain is electrician Liam Norton. He's been doing the rounds on the news programmes and going viral online.
In 1937, do you know how many ministers, how many MPs supported Churchill?
I don't care.
In 1937,
I'm not interested in Churchill.
Six MPs.
I'm interested in
six
people.
Six MPs
who
supported him
because of what you're
and
doing.
And Churchill was right, wasn't he? But he only had the support of six
you're
MPs.
You're comparing yourself to Winston Churchill.
No, I'm putting yourself into a historical situation. Always, not always, the public are always with you, but you're still right. And we're right now.
Liam Norton was on Good Morning Britain. He compared climate protesters' struggle to that of Winston Churchill. He wasn't being drawn on the programme on whether his own home was insulated, saying, you know, it's not just about my home, it's about everybody's homes. And then he stormed off the set.
This is our line in the sand. We are demanding that the government make a meaningful statement to save the future of this country. And if they refuse to do it, then they can put us in prison. And that's the Home Secretary's decision.
To do it, you're
and
guilty.
I've had enough of talking to people in this country about what we're doing.
You're doing Piers.
This is the state of things.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
To give him his due, he's been on GB News, he's been on Good Morning Britain, places which are, you know, likely to give him a hammering. They're not there to be liked. They're there to get their message on the front page of newspapers. That's ultimately their aim. And it doesn't really matter what is accompanying the headline.
It feels like this movement's only just beginning. Is that fair to say, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we'll see more motorway occupations, probably on different motorways. We'll see different kinds of protest actions as well, potentially even more extreme and more radical.
On the legislation point, I mean, do they have any intention of kind of engaging in anything other than disruptive protests to actually change policy? Are they making efforts to be heard by the Environment Secretary, or, you know, are they just hoping that he's going to get caught up in traffic one day and get so brassed off that he does something to meet their demands? Do you know, is there actual engagement happening here?
Well, I think they would say that they've been trying to engage with the government, as have other movements like Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth, for decades. They've had enough and see this as the last resort.
One final thought as well in all of this is we're in the midst of this energy crisis. Gas prices are up, energy prices are up, energy companies are collapsing around us. It's the talk of the town at the moment. One might suggest that the stars are aligning for climate protesters right now.
More and more, there will be examples that climate protesters can point to and say forest fires, energy shortages, rising sea levels. These are the sorts of things that humanity is going to have to face more and more in the coming years. And I don't see these groups going away anytime soon while that's happening. For as long as there is a climate crisis going on, there will be groups like this.
You've been listening to Stories of Our Times, a podcast brought to you thanks to subscribers of The Times and The Sunday Times, with me, Callum MacDonald, and my guest today, Times reporter Tom Ball. You can find all of Tom's work at thetimes.co.uk to go online, or you can pick up a paper and read them in print. The producer for this episode was Marilyn Rust. The executive producers were Asya Fuchs and James Shield, and sound design was by David Crackles. If you have a story you think we should be covering, any ideas for future episodes, or indeed thoughts on what you've just heard, then send us an email to storiesofourtimes@thetimes.co.uk. We really, truly look forward to hearing from you, and I will speak to you again soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Looking for inspiring stories? Listen to the EY Leading Into Tomorrow podcast. It features compelling stories from leaders across government and the public sector who've transformed their organizations and services. From the impact of grants to how digital innovation is reshaping affordable childcare, you'll get actionable insights and ideas that can be used around the world. Download Leading Into Tomorrow by EY wherever you get your podcasts.